I want to thank Jen for her drosh today because, well, it was just a mini message that I'm giving again. It was great. It was amazing in the amount of confirmation that was in it. And you know what was even more amazing? She spoke on the same subject without repeating almost any of the scripture that I've done. That's how much Adonai speaks about chasing off fears, about not being afraid, that there's a lot in there. So as we know, this week, Jacob showed some fear. You know, and it's the telling, and the portion this week is the telling of his going back to where he grew up, back to the land of his father and his brother, who were still there. And he was going back, even based on the instructions that Adonai had given him. While he was still living over with Laban, his uncle, Adonai told him, go back. But even as he was going back, he had fears. He was scared. Now we know this because towards the beginning of the portion, this is what we read. We'll start in Genesis 32:7. The messengers returned to Jacob saying, we went to your brother, Esau, and he's also coming out to meet you, and 400 men with him. So Jacob became extremely afraid and distressed. He divided the people with him, along with the flocks and herds and camels, into two camps. For he thought, if Esau comes to one camp and strikes it, the camp that's left will escape. Could you imagine? They came to him and said, oh, and by the way, your brother's coming. Oh, and he's bringing 400 guys with him. Ah! The fear. Jacob became afraid. Now, that was not the first time Jacob showed fear. It's not the last time Jacob showed fear, though, either. Throughout his lives, there were fears that he had to confront. Jacob was afraid when his mother told him to go in to his father and get the blessing of the firstborn from Isaac, taking it from Esau. He was afraid of Esau when Esau said that he would kill him once their father died. When Adonai told him to leave Laban, he feared Laban. That's why he left while Laban was gone, sharing sheep in a different field. He was again afraid of Esau when he was returning from Laban's with his wives and his property. Excuse me. It's the first time he sent his sons because of the famine to go get food. He was afraid that he was going to lose his youngest son, Benjamin. The second time he sent the children, this time he had to send Benjamin. He was afraid of losing Benjamin. So we read throughout Scripture that there was almost always he had some kind of fear, it seemed. Not only him, though. It's everyone through Scripture. Almost everyone in Scripture has some fear at one time or another. Moses showed fear when he fled from Pharaoh after killing the Egyptian. Then when he heard from the burning bush, he had fear of Adonai. When he was told to go back to Egypt, he had fear again. The prophets, almost the very first chapter of almost every book of the prophets starts with, but he was afraid. Even the prophets were afraid of Adonai's voice because they had not heard it this way before. Or they were afraid of what would happen to them if they did what Adonai told them to do. So when we have this emotion of fear ourselves, we shouldn't think that we're the only ones who are feeling fear. It's easy to look around at the people around us and think, well, look at them. They're not afraid. They're not showing any fears. The reality is, everyone has fear. It's just that there are some who are better at dealing with it, so it doesn't show the same way. Or they just have fears of different things. So while you're being afraid of this, they look like they don't have fear because they're in the same situation, but look what's going on. But they don't fear it because, well, for whatever, they've done something in the past already that's helped them get through this kind of a fear before. Hiding or running from fear is not healthy. Repressing it is just not the way to handle it. In order to help us handle our fears, we have to know that there are actually two types of fear. Two types of fear that can be within us, and we also see them in Scripture. Fear of and from the world is the first fear, and fear of Adonai is that second fear. And the truth is, each type of these fears are constantly trying to push the other fear out of us. The world is trying to push the fear of Adonai out of us, and the fear of Adonai is pushing out the fear of the world. And it's constant battle back and forth of these two fears within us. And the truth is, we can only have victory when the fear of the Lord is pushing out the fear of the world. As flesh, we can be seen going back and forth between these two fears. Even the best of us go from the fear of Adonai to the fear of the world and back again and forth again. And it seems like it's just this constant battle that we go through. Whether we recognize it as fear or not, it is what we go back and forth in. And we can see this in Scripture as well as in our lives with the other people within the Scripture. We see an example of the fear of the world and the fear of Adonai pushing back and forth in Peter. In Peter, we see it early on that Peter loved Yeshua so much that he said he would die for him. It's a great example of fear of the Lord, being strong in him. But then when it came time to put the rubber to the road, Peter denied Yeshua three times. Look at the difference in Peter first from Mark 14:29. We read this. Peter said to him, "Even though all fall away, I won't." And Yeshua said to him, "Amen. I tell you today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter kept insisting exceedingly, "Even if I must die with you, I'll never deny you." And they were all saying the same thing. In other words, all the disciples were saying the same thing, but Peter was so insistent. "Even if I have to die, I'm not going to deny you." "The fear of the Lord is strong in me," Peter says. "I'm going to walk with you no matter what." While Yeshua is taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Sanhedrin, this is what happens when confronted by a servant girl, a lowly servant girl. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looks straight at him. "You also were with Yeshua of Nazareth," she said. But he denied it, saying, "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." Then he went outside to the gateway, and the rooster crowed. Seeing him, the servant girl began again to tell the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again, he denied it. And a little while later, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you're also a Galilean." But he began to curse himself and to swear an oath, "I do not know of this man you're talking about." "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're saying. Who are you saying?" Peter had the fear of the Lord, "I'll die for you." And then he had the fear of the world. "Whoa, what are you talking about? Not me. Oh, wait, whoa." The fear of the world fought in through the fear of the Lord in Peter at that time. Now, don't worry. The fear of the Lord wins again, right? We know that. But it went back and forth in Peter. It went back and forth. And if it can happen to a disciple like Peter, it can happen to disciples like you and I as well. We're just flesh. Here's a little surprise. In the flesh, Yeshua showed some fear. That, how can you say that? We can actually see Yeshua showing some fear while he was on the stake. When he was hung on the stake in the flesh. We actually see Yeshua show some of the fear while he was on the stake. He quoted Psalm 22, which we read in Mark 15. In the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me? Again, this is a direct translation from the start of Psalm 22. This is the one time that Yeshua feels abandoned and afraid because the sins of the world truly are on him, and they've separated him from the Father. Now, the truth is, I believe this, the truth is he was not truly separated, but he felt separated. Separation from Adonai certainly allows the fears of the world to come and reside within us. This is why we read Psalm 118:6 and see the importance of having Adonai with us. Where am I? Oh, there it is. Psalm 118:6, it's not very long. Adonai is for me. I will not fear. What can men do to me? It is the presence of Adonai by the Ruach that the fear of the world is displaced. There's a real difference between fear of the world, being afraid, and fear of Adonai, which is a reverence and a comfort from him. Now, some people want to teach that the fear of Adonai is being afraid of God, who will take vengeance on a people who do not trust him or sin against him. But this is not the fear that he wants from us. He's not a vengeful God. He's a loving God. And he wants us to also be loving towards others. And that can't be accomplished by scaring or scarring people. It's done through the example of love. Therefore, he shows a love that he wants us to have to show to others. We can expect that those that see God as vengeful will eventually be vengeful to others. They're going to show the same thing that they received from God, or what they think they received from God. So if they think God is vengeful, they're going to be vengeful eventually. This fear of the world, of a vengeful God, is the kind of fear that we see in Adam and Eve when they first sinned. As with Peter, as we discussed earlier, with Adam and Eve, we see their fear change from reverence to a worldly fear. Genesis 3:8, starting there. And they heard the sound of Adonai Elohim going to and fro in the garden of the wind of the day. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai Elohim in the midst of the tree of the garden. Then Adonai Elohim called to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" Then he said, "Your sound, I heard it in the garden, and I was afraid, because I am naked. I hid myself." But even within the story, we see a reason to praise Adonai. Adam and Eve did something that they knew would disappoint Adonai. They knew eating the fruit from the tree that they were told not to would disappoint Adonai, and therefore they feared his presence. But even after Adonai's disappointment, He was still there with them. And even now, he's working towards man's eventual reinstatement to be with him for all eternity. That's really what the book of scriptures are all about, are getting back to him for all eternity. This is the reason that we look towards him with a fear that is reverence and not a fear of being afraid of him and what he could do, what he's going to do. What he's going to do is draw us back. That's what he really is going to do. Of the two fears, one should draw us to become like him, while the other is to keep us from becoming like him. Like to become of the world. Yes, we should have a fear of disappointing him, but not the fear that keeps us away from him. Even in our unintentional sin, we shouldn't have a fear that keeps us running from him. The fear that Adam and Eve felt that kept them from Adonai was from Satan. It caused them to hide from Adonai. And anything that leads us away from Adonai leads us towards Satan. I would say that if they had the correct fear at that time, things would have been totally different. If they had reverence for Adonai, that would have caused them to turn back to Adonai instead of running from Adonai. The history of the world would have been different. Because he would have accepted them back if they reverenced him instead of running from him. This kind of fear that leads us away from Adonai is the kind of fear that James speaks about. James says that even the demons fear Adonai and shudder. But their fear does not lead them back to Adonai, but away from him. For people in this world, they also fear Adonai, but it's because they'll be exposed as sinners, and so they run from him. This fear, which some will call sinful fear, which causes people to flee from God, comes in a good part from a misunderstanding of who Adonai really is. When Yeshua told the parable of the 10 talents, he was in a large part telling this story. The unfaithful servant in Yeshua's parable shows a problem that he unfairly complains about to his master, which we see in Luke 19. Remember, the parable is that the master gives 3 people some talents or minas. The first 2 invest and it grows and gives it back. And the 3rd one didn't do that, right? So he says, well, the master says, well, what happened? Luke 19:20, starting there. But another came saying, that's the 3rd one, Master, here is your mina. I was keeping it safe in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a strict man. You take what you did not make and reap what you did not sow. He sees nothing of the master's kindness. But due to his being afraid of the master, he misunderstands him. He didn't have a fear of reverence towards him, and therefore he does not see what the master was doing for him. The master was trying to teach him so that he would be a leader. We know this because when the first 2 servants showed what they did with their talents, he gave them cities to be in charge over. But this servant sees the master as fearful and he's frozen in inaction. But the fear that the master wanted was to see the master as an example so that the servants would learn and therefore strive to become more like him. The fear that the first 2 servants had caused them to mimic and to grow and to gain approval from the master. As they followed the example of the master, they were able to accomplish what the master wanted. How much more do we want to accomplish what our master wants from us? It will only be done when we fear the master, as in hold in reverence and desire to be like him, as opposed to being afraid of him. It comes down to this. There are two types of fear, right? One is trust in Adonai, and the other is distrust in Adonai. Those that do not trust him, do not have reverence for him, and are not going to be able to have the fear of the Lord, but will always have the fear of the world. Then what are we going to do to foster the fear of Adonai in us that he wants? We need to look to scriptures and follow his word to have the trust in him. Let's start with Proverbs. Proverbs 3. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We gain the right fear by trusting in him, looking towards him for our help and our understanding, and not going with our own understanding. When we trust and we follow, we're allowing ourselves to become more like him. And that's his desire for us, to be more like him. We are to allow ourselves to be changed, even when we don't understand the change ourselves. The servant with the coin didn't understand the words that were being taught to him. He refused to become like the master and therefore was afraid of him. We need to lean on him. We need to lean on him and his teaching, not our own understanding. Now, the good news is we're not left alone. We don't have to do this by our own strength. He sends the Ruach, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. Shalom I leave you, my shalom I give you, but not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. It's the Ruach who helps. It's the Ruach who helps us to walk and be changed by the fear of the Lord. Boy, I adjust my microphone and it sounds a whole lot different. We need to allow him to allow us to change. How do we keep our hearts from being troubled and afraid? It's by filling ourselves up with the Ruach, which guides us into the fear, reverence, love, and observations of Adonai, the observance of Adonai. It is by the Ruach that he stays with us, and therefore we read from Psalm 118 this, Psalm 118:6, Adonai is for me, I will not fear. What can man do for me? I think I read that earlier, but it fits here too. By now we know that the fear that is spoken of there is not the fear of the Lord, but the fear of the world. Right? The Lord doesn't want to take away the fear of the Lord. He wants to remove the fear of the world from us. When we have the Ruach within us, we have Adonai with us, and therefore it pushes out the fear of the world from us. We understand that everything that a man can do to us is not eternal, and therefore cannot have everlasting effect on us. It should be great comfort to us as long as our goals are long-term, meaning eternal. It's when we overly concern ourselves with the short-term things, the things of this life, the things of this world, that we become afraid of what will happen or what we can lose. Keeping your eye on the eternal helps to keep the correct fear upon us. We're reminded of this in Psalm 3, where it says, starting in verse 4, "But you, Adonai, are my shield around me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry out to Adonai with my voice, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, I awake, for Adonai sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people all around who have taken their stand against me." He is our protector, and therefore we are not afraid of this world or what they think, or even what they think they can do towards us. We may have people of the world surround us, but we have the one who battles for us and who never fails to gain victory. We sang, right? "This is how I fight my battles." This is how we fight our battles. This, getting rid of the fear, obtaining the fear of Adonai, this is how we fight our battles. If we join together with him, then we too have the victory, knowing victory is ours because it is his. He's got the victory already. That should remove fears from us. When we know that the finale is decided already, then we should not fear what's going to happen in the middle. We're living in the middle. We're not living in that finale yet. Keep your eye on the finale. There may be steps that feel like steps backwards, but we just need to keep our eye on what we know will be the ending of the book. This is why we can say with confidence, Psalm 91, which starts this way, "He who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. I will say to Adonai, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will rescue you from the hunter's trap and from the deadly pestilence." Even when we're trapped, it's only temporary, because the God Most High will rescue us. The pain will be released, the confinement, the struggles, with all that, it's released at the end. Regardless of what we're feeling now, it will be released. Therefore, know that what the enemy throws at us may be a discomfort, but it will not stop our eternal goal and our eternal reward. The enemy may come against us, but it is him who is the only aid that is worth going after. He's the only aid. Psalm 108, starting in verse 12. Give us help against the adversary. For unless is delivered through man. Thank you. Useless for deliverance. I'll try again. Give us help against the adversary, for useless is deliverance through man. With God, we will do valiantly, and he will trample our foes. The help of man, yeah, we look towards it for temporary help. But the true help we look for is from Adonai. It is he who will defeat every foe of ours, whether it be earthly or spiritual. He is able to defeat everything that comes against us. We're not able to stop the emotion of fear. We really can. You know, we can say how we come against it, but it's really hard. Almost, it is impossible to stop that emotion of fear. When we're faced with a danger, either physical or spiritual, we're created to have fear. It can help us from doing something that would cause even more harm. But it's what we do when we feel fear within us that can determine how we'll get through the issue that's before us. Do we rely on self? Or do we turn to Adonai for the help because we know where our help comes from? Knowing the source of the help is knowing the fear of Adonai. So we strive to turn our fear of what the world can do to us into fear of Him by the knowledge of what He can do for us. The fear of the world is driven out by the love of Adonai. The love of Adonai that we have for Him, as well as the love that He has for us. Remember, 1 John 4, it says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect fear drives out, perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears has not been made perfect in love." The love of Adonai drives out the fear of the world. We can have a love for a person, and that can help us to alleviate some fear, but it's the perfect love of Adonai that He has for us that will perfectly expel fear from us. His love for us, our love for Him, and He drives out all fear if we allow Him to. That's why we proclaim Psalm 34, starting in 4. "Magnify Adonai with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought Adonai and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." All my fears. My fear is my clicker stopped working. There we go. He delivers from the fears of the world, and that's why we seek Him out with all our heart and with all our strength. The thing to remember is 2 Timothy 1. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline." The thing to remember is what we are to control. He gives us self-control or self-discipline, not the ability to control things around us. We cannot control all things, but with practice, we can control ourselves. We can control how we react to situations. We can react without fear of the world, but with fear of Adonai. And the final word is from Joshua 1, which most of you know. Have I not commanded you? Shazach, be strong. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. Be courageous, be strong. He will be with us. So we are to be strong. We are to be brave. You know, if your thought after hearing from Adonai is, "What should I do? What should I do?" you're either not really listening to Adonai, or He's not done speaking to you. Because when He speaks to you, He will tell you what to do and when to do it. He will tell you, and that will cast out the fear, because He is in control of the situation. So just follow His instructions. It's when we try to do our own thing, when He tells us what His own thing is already, that we start muddling things up in our lives. So as Yeshua said in Mark 5, don't be afraid, just believe. Father, this is our heart. We want to just believe. We want to not fear the world, but to fear You. You are the only true God. You are our only true strength. You are our only true courage and conviction. Therefore, You push out the fear of the world so that the fear of You may be within us. We thank you that you do that, that you push out the fear of the world, so that regardless of what's before us, regardless of what we think the outcome will be here in our lives, we know that in the end, you will have your way. Eternity will be victorious because of you. We know that we will always be before you. As long as we run that good race, as long as we don't give up, as long as we have the fear of you within us. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to maintain that fear at all times. And everyone said, amen and amen.